Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, brings you a program about the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them. Through these programs, we hope our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at Work. This evening, we visit Jolly Kids Garment Manufacturing Company in Kalamazoo. Your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
If you have some small fry in your family, up to 6 years of age or even older, there's a good chance they're wearing clothes made by a plant here in Kalamazoo or one of its affiliated plants at South Haven or Belding. Jolly Kids togs have attained a nationwide popularity during the past few years, and they're distributed by chain stores, mail order houses, and retailers all over the land. Now, this business had its beginnings in Bangor, Michigan, some 22 years ago. But the men who started it were not new in the field. The late Jacob K. Hammerman was one of the best-known and well-liked wholesalers of infants and children's wear in Chicago for many years. J.K., as he was known to everybody in the trade, raised five sons, and it was two of these sons who were the leaders in the formation of a corporation to manufacture this type of clothing. They had been born and brought up in the wholesale end of the business, so they knew it thoroughly, a fact which probably has a great deal to do with their success. The company was known as the Jolly Kids Garment Company until 1943, when the corporation was dissolved and the two Hammerman brothers, Sal and Meyer, formed a partnership under the name of Jolly Kids Togs. Now, you may wonder, as I did, where that name came from. Well, it seems that the Hammermans had some earlier enterprises, one of which manufactured girls' dresses. This was called the Joanne Kitty Dress Manufacturing Company, employing the first two initials of Jacob K. Hammerman's name. And then a jobbing company was also operated and called Jester Kids Clothes Company. Well, both these turned out pretty well, and so it was sort of sentiment that kept the J.K. idea, and that was incorporated into the name Jolly Kids Togs. The first plant was opened at Bangor, where the Hammermans bought out a small manufacturer who was turning out infants' flannelettes and buntings. Some trained labor was available, and that, I am told, is not easy to find in this business. The company soon outgrew its quarters in Bangor and then moved on to South Haven. Later, one of the abandoned silk mills was acquired at Belding, and a plant was started there. But this, too, proved to be inadequate. It was in the year 1939, that's just 10 years ago, that this company started work here in the Remington Building in Kalamazoo. The following year, the Limousine Body Plant on Lane Boulevard was acquired, and that's where the manufacturing in Kalamazoo is carried on now. About 145 people, mostly women, are employed in the Kalamazoo plant. 42 work at the factory, which still operates in South Haven, and the Belding plant provides work for about 130 people. So altogether, this is quite a sizable and important industry for three towns in western Michigan. Let me tell you next the sort of a product that the company manufactures. In general, its line is children and infants' outerwear garments. To start with, there are simple infant flannelette gowns and slips trimmed with blue or pink thread. Next come the crawlers, with the legs of the garment cut off just below the knee so that the youngster will have plenty of freedom of movement when he first starts moving about. Overalls and playsuits come next on the list as the child gets a little older. These garments for wear during the daytime are supplemented by an important line of baby's buntings and children's bathrobes, as well as pajamas for the little tots. An outfit called a pedal pusher is designed for youngsters about 6 years old, although, of course, it originally was copied from one of these outfits designed for bicycling by older girls. For winter wear, there's a large variety of snowsuits, coat and legging suits, and what are called pram suits. Snowsuits with the places for the feet sewed up for the little tots riding in perambulators. You will note that most of the items are for infants and for the younger children. This kind of business is highly competitive. I asked Mr. Sam Elliott, the local manager, what the company attributed its success to. Well, he was very modest about it all, but he said he believed that attention to quality merchandise and long experience in the business were the chief ingredients. There are changing styles and new ideas that are constantly cropping up. These are submitted to buyers in the form of samples well in advance. For example, right now such samples are being made for the spring and summer line next year. The production at this time, however, is wholly in fall and winter items. This is the busiest season of the year, by the way. The buying, selling, and accounting offices of the company are located in Chicago. In addition to mail order houses like Montgomery Ward and Spiegel's and chain stores like Woolworth and Kresge, Jolly Kids togs are sold to jobbers and direct to retailers by salesmen in all parts of the nation. Orders come into the Kalamazoo plant, and then shipments are made to the different mail order plants and the individual chain stores and other customers. Raw materials, that's chiefly cotton cloth, are shipped into Kalamazoo by truck and rail. The cloth comes in huge rolls, and around 3.5 million yards per year are used. That's a lot of cloth. Now, after a brief message from our sponsor, I'll be back with a description of manufacturing operations here in Kalamazoo and interviews with a couple of the people who work in the plant.
Western Michigan at Work is sponsored by the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan. They are local distributors for Lewis Alice Electric Motors. In the White Sales warehouse, they carry industrial motors up to 100 horsepower. They have standard motors and also those with special cases for wet and very dusty locations. They even have some that would not explode if exposed to gasoline vapors. White Sales has a full range of sizes that turn 1,800 revolutions per minute. They also have a nearly complete stock that turn at the other standard speeds, which are 3,600, 1,200, and 900 revolutions per minute. For further information, call White Sales at Scotts 371. Now back to Dr. Willis Dunbar.
A trip through the Jolly Kids Togs plants begins in the receiving warehouse, where you see high piles of rolls of cloth in different colors and with different printed patterns. Changes in style extend not only to the patterns and colors, but to the type of cloth. For example, consider what is called tackle twill. Now, that's a light, satiny, smooth fabric that's used widely nowadays for the outer part of children's winter wear. Formerly, snowsuits and winter outdoor clothing for children was made mainly out of what is called pile cloth. It's warm, but it's very heavy and it's easy to soil. Tackle twill is made from a fabric that has been treated with a chemical that seals up all the tiny pores in the fabric. And that, of course, makes it impossible for the cold air to get in. Let's go upstairs now to the cutting room. That's a room filled with long tables, 100 feet in a row. Across these, the cloth is spread for cutting. It's unrolled and spread, by the way, by machines, which travel back and forth across those tables automatically, laying the cloth out in long strips. On top of these strips go the patterns, which are traced on a hard and glossy cardboard. The patterns are laid out so that maximum use is made of the cloth, and just as little of it as possible is wasted. The lines of the pattern are then perforated with small holes across which paint is smeared. When the pattern is removed, tiny dots trace the pattern on the first strip, which is placed upside down so that the outer surface will not show the marks. Then come the cutters with a motor-driven knife, which is razor-sharp and moves up and down very rapidly. Cutters are the most skilled workmen in the place. Some of them, as well as many of the sewing machine operators, were employed by the Kalamazoo Pant Company when that concern did its manufacturing in Kalamazoo. You might be interested to know that up to last week, three generations of one family worked as cutters for Jolly Kids Togs. They were Herman, the grandfather, Herbert, the father, and Russell Meisling, the grandson. Herman Meisling retired just a couple of weeks ago, I'm told. Well, I've invited another member of this department, who, incidentally, is the oldest employee in point of service, to be with us for our program tonight. He's Robert Ward. Bob, how long have you been in this trade?
13 years, except 2 years for the Army.
Well, that's a long time. How did you happen to take up the cutting trade?
It's a fascinating work.
Did I hear you say before we went on the air that your father or your family followed this occupation?
My mother was pretty handy at it.
Worked at it
back in Ohio.
Oh, I see. Well, now, tell us about your work as a cutter, Bob. What are some of the things that you have to watch out for? And how do you hold that cloth while it's being cut?
You have to watch out for damaged materials and to check your perforated pattern. Be sure that it's all marked in correctly at all times and check it if you're in doubt. Your cutting is coordination between the machine and your left hand, which has to work together as a machine.
Now, you hold the machine with the right hand, and then you hold the cloth with the left hand. That's correct,
isn't it? Yes, the operation changes automatically with the types of material you're working on.
Oh, I see. So there's a lot of the skill that's necessary in holding that cloth with your left hand.
Very much so. It takes a long time to train a cutter.
What about yourself, Bob? Are you married? Have you got any hobbies?
I'm married. Hunting and fishing, when I'm not in the doghouse for it.
Well, all right, and thank you very much, Bob. In the cutting room, the stock is assembled for each order and it's placed in a sort of a closet on rollers. This contains every item to be used in sewing a garment together. By the way, all the cutting is done in Kalamazoo for the plants at South Haven and Belding. That must keep you pretty busy, Bob.
Quite much so.
The cut cloth, I understand, is delivered by trucks in these closets which bring back the finished goods. Well, now, let's go up to the sewing room. That's a large place filled with piles of gaily colored cloth and scores of women, hard at work at all kinds of sewing machines. I'm told that all these women are paid at a piecework rate with a basic wage. Since the plant has been operating 50 hours a week for some time, they have a pretty good income. Well, suppose we talk to one of the sewing machine operators who is with us here in the studio tonight. She's Mrs. Laura Doakey. Mrs. Doakey, how long have you been with the firm, Jolly Togs?
Oh, around 6.5 years.
Mrs. Doakey, I saw quite a few different kinds of sewing machines when I visited your plant. Can you tell our listeners what these different kind of sewing machines are?
Well, there's a button, and the buttonhole, and the banders, flatbed, and off the arm, and a marrow, and a single needle, and then there's others.
Now, it takes a different skill, I suppose, to operate each one of those machines.
Yes, it does.
I thought that most of the fasteners that I saw used when I visited the plant were zippers. Do you still use some buttons?
Yes, we still use a few buttons.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a machine do you work on, Mrs. Doakey?
Well, I work on a machine that's called a bander.
A bander. Now, what does that machine do?
Well, it sews the waistband into the garment.
And you operate this machine and sew these waistbands onto the garments as they come along, these
yes,
big piles. Thank you very much, Mrs. Doakey. I'd like to tell our listeners that when I passed through the office, I noticed a series of charts with movable pegs of different colors. I learned that these are used to keep track of the progress of the various orders which pass through the plant. There were some 375 of these at the time of my visit, and this device enabled the manager to know right where each one of those orders was. I was interested to learn that probably the most important factor in the location of such a plant as this is the availability of skilled sewing machine operators. So it looks, Mrs. Doakey, as if you have a pretty important job. The trend towards locating these plants in the South has changed, I'm told, because of the lack of this kind of labor there. The company offers its employees a number of benefits. The plant closes down a week each summer, and all hands take a paid vacation. Free hospital insurance is provided, and there's a bonus system for those who stay with the company at a considerable period. And that's the story of another industry where you will find Western Michigan at work.
That's the story of the Jolly Kids Garment Manufacturing Company in Kalamazoo. Next week, we will bring you the story of Hamilton Farm Bureau. You have been listening to another Tuesday evening program in the series of Western Michigan at Work, presented to you at this time by White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, who are local distributors for Lewis Alice Electric Motors.